This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning. Welcome to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on this Thursday morning. Goodness, we're already the 19th of July. I'm Captain Mickey Eastman, producing the Outdoor Show this morning.
Back again, Leslie T. Travis. Good morning.
We're back.
We are.
I'm ready for some more baseball.
It'd be nice. I had a great time for the All-Star game.
I did too.
Jordan came by. I got to beat his butt at Monopoly. He usually just kicks my butt all over the place.
Boy, I hadn't played that in years.
Yeah, we sit in front of the TV, play Monopoly. We had a big hot dog feast.
Does anybody cheat?
No.
Really?
No. Mm-mm.
We used to play cheat Monopoly.
Oh.
Everybody'd be stealing money. Nobody was looking, getting the extra cash.
Right.
Oh, boy.
Nope, straight up Monopoly. This time I got to win, so that was good.
Well,
so it
good.
Was a good All-Star break. How was yours?
Everything was fine. I thought it was great, especially Bregman.
Man, that was something. When he hit the home run, I told Jordan at that time, I said, he's going to be the MVP. He's going to win it, and he did.
He did. Well, I'm glad for him. Well, we won an ESPY last night, too.
I didn't watch.
Best team. Well, I didn't watch it either. I wasn't staying up for that. But best team.
Of course.
Yeah. Of course, that was pretty much a no-brainer.
Well, yeah.
I mean, we did win the World Series, so that made us the best. See if we can do it again this year.
Best teammates, too. They just all look like they're having so much fun.
They are. They enjoy their ball.
Uh-huh. And that's a good way to have a cohesive team that's going to win another one.
That makes a winning combination.
Mm-hmm.
If you like what you're doing, you're going to be good at it.
Okay.
All right.
Well, we must like what we're doing.
Yeah. We like it.
I do.
There. I just can't wait to get up at 1:30 in the morning.
Here. Well, the hours are...
If I didn't like it, I wouldn't do it, I promise you.
The hours are a little weird, but...
They are.
But we have a good time doing it.
It is. If we did this every day and you just stayed on the same schedule, it'd be different. But when you go off of it and then get back to a normal schedule, this first day is what always gets me coming back.
Yeah, it's hard to go to bed on Wednesday night to get
it
up.
It is.
And
I know, you're used to it. Well.
Yeah. Oh, complain.
Oh, I'm not complaining.
No.
I'm just bitching a little bit. No, it's not bad. It's all good.
It is.
All right, well, our sponsors today for today's show, the Belleville Meat Market, Skeeter's Auto Service, McLean Trailers, Mainstream Marketing, Reback King Turbo Machinery, Boyd's One Stop, Hook Spit Performance Rods, and Texan Roofing. Galveston right now feels like 90 degrees this morning down on the island, and it's the old dreaded southwest wind. High pressure settled in on us, and if you haven't noticed, it's hot all over the state. My phone had like 7 heat warning alerts from places I've got in my phone, weather areas where I hunt and fish all over the state. So it's a little warm. Partly cloudy today, high near 90. That's down on the island. It'll be up in the upper 90s here on the high ground. Winds will be southwest at 10 to 20 again. And looking at tonight, southwest 10 to 20. Tomorrow, southwest 10 to 20. And it's quite warm for this time of morning. It really is. So, but southwest wind with high pressure over us, that's what you're going to get. That's pretty much the norm. Looking at tides for today, tides have been kind of weird. We've been kind of low in the mornings, but it looks like a low at 4 a.m. this morning. It's an 0.5. Then we have a high at 10:32 a.m. It's a 1.1. And then a low at 5:54 p.m. It's an 0.2. Sunrise this morning will be 6:33 a.m. And sunset tonight, 8:19 p.m., and 39% is our moon phase. Right now, current conditions, Eagle Point, southwest at 8, gusting to 11, 87-degree water. And then at Morgan's Point, 87-degree water with southwest winds gusting to 11. They've come down a little bit. When I first got up this morning, they were probably hitting about 15 or 18. But it has come down a little bit as the sun comes up this morning. It'll blow, and then mid-morning it'll start laying back down, and then in the afternoons you'll get a little bit of kind of south-southeast in the afternoon. That's been the pattern anyway. All right. What else we got here? I guess we could, real quick, starboard update. Let's see, where do I have it here? The upper coast, Robert Lewis has been, you know, leading it all along with a 9, even a 9.0. We've got a new second place, first runner-up, Daniel Mendenhall of Galveston. So I'm pretty sure this fish was caught out of Galveston here locally. It was an 8.7. That's pretty much all that's changed. You got four fish on the board all the way across the board for the whole coast, upper, middle, and lower. So still don't have five slots filled on speckled trout yet. All right, let's go to Bill Watkins at Sabine Lake now and see what's up. Bill, good morning. How are you, man?
Hey, man, I'm all right.
Everything good in your world?
Yep. Sure is. Over here in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, wherever the heck that is. I drove there yesterday, and we're on our way to Birmingham. We're just about probably an hour out of Birmingham, so where the championship tournament's going to be, World Champion Taekwondo Championship.
Right.
So he's competing against all red belt level twos, and from no telling where they'll all be from.
Yeah, how old is he?
He's 8.
Yeah, I knew he was little.
Yeah.
I remember when you were taking him fishing when he was 4 and 5 years old.
Oh, yeah. Yep. I was hauling him to the deer stands and fooling around, put corn and stuff in when he was in diapers. And I had my own diaper bag, and I just took off to the woods with him. He's almost like Davy Crockett raised in the woods near every tree. Hadn't killed a bear yet, though.
That's probably the last thing on my list is to shoot a bear. I just have no desire to do that. That's like shooting a dog, man. That's all they are, is a big old dog.
Two-legged puppy.
That's it.
he's really good at Taekwondo, though. He's found his thing. He's been there 2 years doing that. And he'll be a black belt by the end of this year.
Good, he can be your bodyguard.
When he gets a little bigger, yeah.
Yeah,
actually,
when you have to go down in them rough neighborhoods, you can take him with you. He's got your back then.
I'm just going to stay out of the rough neighborhood.
That's the best thing to do.
So how'd your fishing go this week, brother?
Southwest wind, what do you think?
Yeah.
It was tough.
I took off the whole week, but I haven't fished since Saturday. But it was pretty good up until then. Yeah. Now, my friends are telling me that the southwest wind has just wrecked Jetty Bat.
I'm sure it has.
So messed up a lot of things. And it went west-southwest yesterday.
It's wrecked a lot of stuff over this way, too. It's kind of like old Forrest Gump said. He said, man, shrimping is tough. And so is fishing right now.
And I think he said he caught 4 trout yesterday in his boat. And this guy's a great fisherman. I mean, he's about as good as there is. He said, man, it was bad.
So, yeah, on trout, that's about average, 4 to 8, maybe 10. You really get on them, you'll get double digits. But,
yeah. Yeah, he had 22 on Saturday, and I think he had 15 on Friday, and it just went down the tubes yesterday. So that's kind of how it's going over here.
And it's hot.
Yeah, it is miserable. And getting hotter this week, they said.
Oh, yeah.
It's supposed to get up to 98 over here.
That high pressure settled in, and I think where I saw where the state of Texas used more electricity yesterday, it broke an all-time record because
Golly.
Of the heat wave through the entire state.
That's not good.
No.
I think it's going to moderate some, not the heat, but I think the west-south wind is going to moderate toward the end of the week around south again, which will help.
It'll help a little, but if it goes southeast or east, that'd be a lot.
Yeah, he said it was due west yesterday.
Oh, yes. It swings. During the night, it's southwest real hard, and then right around daylight, it goes due west real hard. And as the morning progresses, it swings with a little south, west, southwest. Then you'll get kind of a mid-morning, late morning lay down. Before noon, it won't lay all the way down, and then it'll switch over, and it'll go kind of south or south-southeast in the afternoon. So it's weird, man.
We're having one strange summer for weather.
We are.
That's one lick right after another.
Mother Nature has a way of saving her fish, man.
Maybe we won't get a hurricane this year.
If we can keep that wind direction, which we don't want, but keep that Saharan dust over the Atlantic basin like that, they claim that curtails hurricane activity.
That's what they say.
It definitely plays with a lot of people's sinuses. It don't bother me as bad as most. Well, I've seen a lot of people, they're just, they've been taking Claritin and everything else, breathing that dust.
I've had some pretty rough allergies this summer, and I think that dust is a big part of it.
Yeah.
It comes from
another continent of particles that we're not used to breathing. Like African particles.
It is kind of strange, isn't it, to think that dust could blow all the way over here.
Hey, I'll tell you what was the absolute worst was, what was that, 8 or 10 years ago? Remember when it was so dry in Mexico and they had all those wildfires over there and all that mosquito?
Oh, yeah.
And all their shrubs and, everything just burning off. And we had the southwest flow and it was blowing all of that smoke over here.
I do remember that.
That was nasty, man. That went on for a month. I mean, every morning when you went out, it was just like foggy, but it was smoke. And what's cool looking, when you look across the bay with the Saharan dust now, it looks like a storm's brewing somewhere because the way it kind of blocks out the sun a little bit and you kind of get that darkness in areas, and you think, man, there's a storm brewing, but it's not. It's just dust.
Yeah, it does look strange. I noticed it's being passed. The other day, it just looked hazy all over.
Oh, yeah.
I thought about it. I went, what is that?
No, Tuesday, it was real bad. Oh, yeah. That's when it was really hazy and thick, was Tuesday.
No kidding, man. Well, we're in for it for a little while, I guess.
No, we'll get through it. We just roll.
Yeah, I just take another Claritin and keep going.
That's it. Just roll with it.
Yeah,
hey, we're learning to roll pretty good this year, man, with the way fishing is going, everything up and down. We can roll.
Well, I'm hearing some good talks talking about the fish down around the mid-coast, but I don't think everybody's catching fish down there. Just a little bit better average size than we're catching.
It's been a lot better down there. Port O'Connor, Rockport, Corpus. I can't leave out Matagorda because they've caught a lot of nice fish there, too. They've caught a lot of fish and some nice fish this year in Matagorda.
Yep, they've had good fishing.
The only thing that's better off is the upper coast, here in southwest Louisiana, your bay system, our bay system, it's been pretty off. But
we've had some natural disasters for three years. Yeah.
And if you count the flood this year, that's four, we've still got a lot more fresh water floating around than people realize. If you look at that OFS animation, it'll show you the salinities all through Sabine Lake and Galveston Bay, and we've still got, real low salinity rates in a lot of places.
Well, you can sure taste it up the rivers right now.
Yeah, rivers are sweet.
Plenty of salt.
The rivers are sweet. Hang on, Bill. Let me do a commercial break, and I'll come back to you, my friend.
All right.
Be right back with you.
And I backed my LTD over that net and didn't feed at night, and I put a little skiff, a little boat on top of the car and tied it. And then when I pulled out, that net hung on some of the stuff on the bottom of my car, and I drug that shrimp net all the way to Fulton. I'm the only weather druggist stripping that 50 friggin' miles didn't catch a damn shrimp, man.
That's hilarious.
Well, if you want to hunt and fish in Texas, you better listen to the Outdoor Show. Captain Mickey and Captain Benny will tell you where to go and what to throw.
I know what you're thinking, Bunk. You're thinking, did he fire six shots or only five? Now, to tell you the truth, I forgot myself in all this excitement. But being this is a .44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and will blow your head clean off, you gotta ask yourself a question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Punk?
Keeney caught a good one and had one a little over 5 pounds. He was waiting back to the boat to put it in the live well. He dropped it in the water, man. He was sick.
Oh, man.
He said Keeney was so mad.
Now, time for more of the Outdoor Show, presented by Hook's Bit Performance Rods on Sports Radio 610.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, 419 in the Bayou City. All right, let's go back to Bill Watkins. And where did he say he was? Tuscaloosa, Alabama. You're not in Greenbow, Alabama. You're in Tuscaloosa, huh?
No, but I understand there really is a Greenbow, Alabama.
There is. That's how Forrest Gump put that on the map.
I would drive through there if it was close enough I could make it without going too far out of the way.
Bubba Gump Shrimp Company.
I got a question for you, and I've been wanting to ask you about when you're fishing the Lele. See, I said it right that time.
Mm-hmm.
What is your favorite way of work that thing?
Man, I like
you
it.
Like,
I jig the mess out of it. I mean, I do. I jig it.
That's the way I do, too.
I work it hard.
Yeah, I work it just like you do. Working a suspending twitch bait inshore,
mm-hmm.
I mean, in the lake, a bass fish.
Right.
I whip it on a slack line.
Yeah.
Every time I pop it, it's on a slack line, so I get the maximum.
Hey, if you'll watch Kevin Van Dam work a twitch bait like that, I mean, he's the master at it. And look at all the slack he'll put in his line. But he's still in contact with that lure. He'll still feel him pick it up with that slack. He's got just enough in there that he can, when he jerks that rod tip, he gets that good whipping action where it really makes that bait react and dive deeper and get sideways on him. And that's the key to these baits is getting that sideways action. You know, it's like when we were learning how to work the corkies. Everybody thought you just threw it out there and held your rod tip down on the water and just go grandpa'd it all the way back. I mean, that'll work. But, man, when you start bending the tail down and the head down and get that banana bend in it and you start jigging it and getting all that diving and upwards motion and then sideways and then stop it when that bait turns sideways, those trout can't take it. They gotta eat it.
Yeah, that's right.
They have to hit it, man.
I do catch most of them that way with it, and they'll tear it out of your hand when they decide to hit it.
Oh, yeah.
But I
love
one.
That Lele bite. That's fun, man. That's good fishing. When you get them going
on those. I caught one the other day, about 3 pounds, and I was catching it on a straight, fast reel and stop, which is kind of weird for that bait because it doesn't do anything when you reel it in. It just kind of slides off to one side or the other just a little bit. It's almost run straight.
Right.
But they will hit it like that. And
yeah, they will.
I thought, wonder if I'm on something a little different here. I'm going to ask Mickey about that because most of the ones I catch on it are with that real, you know, walk the dog under the water deal.
Mm-hmm.
Pop it on the slack line. Yeah, it's just, you watch Kevin Van Dam show how to do that, that's exactly the way I use it.
He's a bad machine when it comes to working those, you know, stick baits and those dive baits like that, all that twitching baits.
Oh, yeah.
He's a master at it.
Yeah, that's how it works.
He's a pretty good fisherman, too.
Yeah, he is pretty good.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
He's pretty good with everything else, too.
Yeah, I heard that.
Yeah, that's a... That Lele bite is fun. It kind of backed off for me a little bit.
But it has, me
if you
too.
If you throw it real early on the jetty, right at dawn, you'll catch trout on it real good. But doggone it, it's dangerous to throw it out there.
Well, yeah.
Any good lure, you got a lure you don't want to lose. Yeah, don't throw it out there because you're going to lose it. Either a big mac will eat it or a jackfish. Oh, jackfish love it.
Oh, if I fished the jetties with it, I'd have steel line leader attached to it for those Spanish.
Yeah, I'd have to have something, and I don't know if it would
that's
work
a heartbreaker,
right like that.
Man. You get one, you know, all of them are unique in their own way. You'll get that one that dives the right amount that you like and has the right rattle tone. It works the way you want it to, and then all of a sudden, man, something breaks you off, and it just, oh, you just want to cry.
Yeah, I lost my first banana one, that first one you sent me.
Yeah,
I lost,
you lost
it to a big jack.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah, that banana one, that was a fish-catching son of a gun. But he got it. He's still wearing it, I hope, like a piercing.
I hope he choked on it. I hate jackfish. They are nasty.
They are.
Y'all get any triple tail showing up through your jetties and along your channel?
Oh, I saw one in the lake the other day floating by a crab ball, and that thing had to be 10 pounds.
That's I'm hearing of some 15, 18, 20-pounders being caught around
here. I don't
here.
Doubt it one bit.
They're, you know, they're being real, real mule-lipped about it. They're not talking much.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, I intend to do that first day I catch it right. I'm going to go out off the jetty and get out there in one of the pockets on each side and cruise around, find those things. We have some nice ones over here sometimes. And one of my favorite fish to hunt, but I like to do it by myself. I don't need any help.
I got
don't
you.
Want anybody trying to throw over me or anything. That's something I save mostly just for me.
Mm-hmm.
They're a fun fish to catch, and you got to present your cast right, and they'll bite. They're really pretty aggressive. Now, that one the other day, I did turn around and come back to him, but he was a little spooky after I passed by so close.
Yeah, he threw a wake on him. Yeah.
And we have plenty of salt water in the lake right now, so there's no telling what might show up out there. There's no problem salt water in the lake. It has completely salted everywhere by now. We had that 10-inch rain here about a month ago at Johnson Bayou. In 2 days, I think they got 10 inches, but all that did was push the redfish to the out of the mouths of bows into the lake.
Right.
And that created a really cool situation. I had fun with redfish for about a week. They kind of, you know, fizzle out there now. But, you know, redfish are not one bit afraid of shallow water and hot air. It doesn't bother them one bit.
No.
They just stick them about where the bait is, and that's where they're going to be. Quite remarkable fish, and we've got a lot of catchable size redfish over here. They're not monsters.
Well, there ought to be a lot of baby crabs right now.
We're seeing them roaming around.
That's what those redfish, they love to get on that this time of year. They start working those shorelines and back lakes where all those young, small, quarter to 50 cent piece size crabs are, and they'll gorge on them.
Yep. That's right. I'll tell you what else we got going on, too. We're starting to see some shrimp schools in the lake.
Mm-hmm.
We got ladyfish out there now. The famous skipjack.
Oh, boy.
They've showed up. And as pesky as they are, sometimes they'll lead you to the trout and redfish. It may be your school you find may be all ladyfish or ladyfish and gaff top. And every once in a while, you'll work the right school, and there'll be trout and redfish under them. So that's a good pattern over here when it works. I'm looking for that. And they're wailing up in the lake, too. They're all over the place.
Yeah, I'm skipjacks. They go all the way up.
I hooked one of those Magnum horse mackerel off the jetty the other day.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I had a baby tarpon.
Yeah, those things are awesome.
They're 25 inches long.
Yeah, they'll test your tackle.
I had one jump completely over the boat one day from side to side and did an aerial flip while he was going. I thought, man, if these things got up to 30, 40 pounds, that'd be dangerous to catch.
Well, I had a guy one day, one ate him up right at the boat, and it was one of them big old horse mackerel. And it jumped over the boat from one side to the other, then went all the way under the boat, came back around, and jumped back in the boat. His line was wrapped all the way around the boat. I go, how in the world can that happen? They're crazy. But he hung it so close to the boat, he didn't get any fight out of it. That thing was green. And when it jumped in the boat, it immediately came undone, and it's flopping all over, and naturally it's bleeding like a stuck pig, and blood's flying all over everybody. Those things are just nasty, man.
That's true.
I couldn't get that thing out of the boat fast enough, and I said, well, just throw your lure back in the water over there and then come over here with your rod and reel this way, and you'll get it out from under the boat. What a mess, man. And what's even worse is when they get in a trolling motor like that. Somebody will have one run under the boat, and then it'll jump, and it'll start wrapping around a trolling motor.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, oh, they'll wrap around anything. Yeah, they're crazy.
They're
That's
uncontrollable.
A crazy fish.
Yeah, when you, they are just absolutely nuts.
Well, that's all the weird fish are showing up on schedule. So
that's it, man. That's bring them on.
All of our trout are those females are fat, full of eggs, and they appear to be doing their thing. So I think we'll wind up with a lot of little trout swimming around late.
Yeah,
get us
some more biomass. We're gonna need it.
Yeah.
And then they'll go through the two-year process of becoming adults, and then we'll be ready to catch them again when they get the right size length.
You know, last fall, after that bad hurricane, the flood we had with record floods, I thought, well, I don't know what fishing's going to be like after this, but after it settled down just a little bit, of course, redfish were biting like crazy right after the hurricane, but right after all that settled down and salted up a little bit, we found trout way up in the north end of the lake.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, good ones, too. And I'm expecting that to happen again this year. Same thing. I believe the lake just kind of got empty. But I think the fish were out there, and I think that's where they came from.
It takes a long time for those fish to come back, when they do come back, if they come back, you know. I mean, that those kind of floods, nothing stays. It's a flush.
Yeah. Well, it was odd, though. I mean, I thought, well, they're not going to be up in the north end this fall. But they were, and they were 3 and 4 pounders, lots of them. And they looked like they come right out of the Gulf, and I'm trying to figure out where they come from.
Yeah, where are they at now? That's what I'm
looking for. Yeah, where are they now?
Yeah, where are they now?
So it's strange where some of those fish go and where they hang out and where they come back to. So I thought after that flood we wouldn't have any trout, but they were quite plentiful up there last fall, and that was the only place that there was very many fish. So we'll see what happens this year. It's hard to figure out where they're going to be when you got these natural disasters hitting you one year after the next. So we'll just have to wait and see what happens.
Well, one good hurricane, it'll all come back.
Who knows, buddy?
I hate to say that, but hey, it's true. All right, man.
That, you know.
Well, Bill, if somebody wants to get in touch with you and do a little fishing over there, come learn Sabine Lake, how do they get a hold of you, man?
409-786-2018.
Or fishsabinelake.com.
That's it, my friend.
All right, buddy. Well, have fun at the Taekwondo tournament.
I intend to.
Do your thing.
All right, brother. Later on.
All right, Bill. Thanks for the report. We'll talk to you in a little while. See you, man. All right. Captain Bill Watkins over at Sabine Lake out of town. All right, let's go to Charlie P. now down in Matagorda. You couldn't get a hold of Richard this morning, huh?
No, I got his voicemail twice. He must already be out catching bait.
He must have talked himself to sleep. Went back to sleep this morning. Charlie, good morning. What's up, man?
Morning, Mickey.
How you doing, brother?
Well, I'm fine. Fighting this heat and fighting this west wind.
I know. I've been thinking about you all week. I said, boy, I bet you Charlie's eating this up.
Well, it's just typical for this time of year, but you got to work. You got to work.
Yes, sir.
I went, some kind of little cough.
Probably that's breathing that Saharan dust all week.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. Man, you can cut that stuff with a knife in the air, especially Tuesday. That was a day it was really bad.
Yeah. And then this high pressure, that's not helping any either.
No. High pressure settled in. It's just hot and the wrong wind direction.
Most people are, in East Bay drifting and catching 5 to 10 fish.
Yeah.
And I got lucky yesterday, man. I went west wading, hit some of my regular customers, and we had hard west wind down there. Probably about 15.
Yeah.
You know, early.
It's the way it's starting out here, too.
Yeah. At about 10 o'clock, we ain't had nothing. It's doom and gloom in my boat. And that wind switched more south to southwest and pulled out on a bar, and I saw three slicks pop up. Said those fish are right there. And that's where they were. Wore them out, 19 to 22 inch fish.
Yeah.
Some on top and mostly on bass sizes. But I think it's just a matter of right place at the right time. I was worried about going down there with this Boca Bueno tournament going on, you know, people being everywhere. But I think what it was I'd see boats coming out of the back lakes and stuff. Everybody probably been on their trout all week down there, and we're looking for those schools of redfish, you know?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's liable to be covered up down there today, but I got to go drift East Bay today anyway, so whatever.
I heard that. Hang on, Charlie. Let me do a quick commercial break. I'll come back to you.
All right.
You're not used to this, but this kind of this way we do it on Richard's time, but you're on his time today, so hang with me, man. Yeah. I'll be right back with you, man. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, 440 in the Bayou City. All right, let's go back to Charlie P. in Matagorda. All right, Charlie, did you get your did you get them pipes cleaned out?
No, I'm still coughing.
You're still coughing? Golly.
I don't know what the deal is.
Man. I could see it if you were a smoker or something.
Must have got me this morning.
Yeah, it probably did. It's catching up with you. It's clogging you up, man.
Yeah.
Remember all that Mexican prairie and all their brush country was all on fire that one year, and all that smoke was blowing over here. That was the absolute worst.
Yeah, I remember that. That was pretty bad. We're always going through something.
Yeah. Hey, good excuses, man.
Yeah, no doubt.
Hey, the fish aren't biting. There's too much Saharan dust in the air.
Yeah. We had a lot of fish bite the dust this weekend, Mickey, with this oil man's tournament over here.
That's what I heard.
They finally hit a stretch of good weather. And
right.
Even though we had that west in the wind, we didn't have high pressure sitting on us, and it was pretty good.
That's what I heard. A lot of people caught a lot of fish, and there were some big fish die too. A lot of big fish.
Oh yeah,
big trout.
And this bite is like 9 to 12. You know, it's not early. That tide is running hard. I think that's what happened to me yesterday. That tide was, you know, running in pretty hard.
Right.
And then when it started slowing down, it's when I found those fish in those guts, and we hit them pretty good.
That's what's happening here. That tide, it runs out so hard during the night, and then it runs in so hard with the incoming, and it's keeping the water stirred up. And as soon as it starts to weaken, the water starts cleaning up, and the fish go to biting.
And yesterday morning, that tide was low.
Yeah,
I mean, we had to climb down into our boats, you know, like a wintertime tide.
Yeah, it's a negative outgoing, man. It's a big one. And that,
yeah.
And seeing that makes the incoming a big positive one also. So you got a lot of current moving in a short time, and it's messing things up.
But July has definitely been an improvement over June. I can tell you that for the fishing.
Yeah. I think so far this summer for us, May was our best month so far.
May was a good month.
Yeah.
No doubt about that.
We had better weather in May, and it just worked out better.
Yeah. We'll get into August and get some calm weather where we can get in the surf. It'll be pretty good, too.
All right. Well,
and then we'll get to September and pray for a front. Cool things down.
I got you. Well, man, I'm going to let you get rolling and get your throat cleared up and get your head right and all that. And hey, if somebody wants to come over to Matagorda and fish with you, how do they get a hold of you, Charlie?
Call me on my cell phone, 713-725-2401.
You may want to take a Claritin this morning before you go fishing.
I'll gargle with Rebecca Creek and be better.
Well, yeah, Rebecca Creek would probably be better for that throat. All right, man. Charlie,
take
have
care.
A good one. Thanks, bud. See you.
Bye-bye.
All right. Yeah, I never heard Charlie messed up like that. All right, let's go to Lake Conroe now. We got Richard on the phone. He must have fell in the water. His cast net was so full of shad, he couldn't pull it up. Richard, what are you doing, man?
You're about right, dang it. I forgot to cut my dang ringer off, so sitting there vibrating, and I just wasn't paying no attention catching bait. So that's what it pretty much amounts to.
I know you were avoiding me.
No, you know better than that. I ain't going to do that at all. There ain't no way. Good night. Jeez, I'll tell you what. You know, I got to think about, you know, I've been, on the past couple of weeks, I've been thinking about them. I've been out there catching them catfish, and they've been a bunch of little ones.
Right.
I think I kind of figured out what's going on. I think somebody's out there baiting it other than me. Well, I run across a fella out there. There ain't very many people know exactly where this spot is, because it's just a little underwater point that drops off into the river channel. It's not very big.
Yeah.
And there's a pile of car tires down there. Years ago, I guess somebody dumped a bunch of car tires in the lake, and so there's a big old pile of car tires down there, and them dang fish live in them tires. But what I found out years ago is if you bait it up with Milo, there's a million little fish will move in on you, and I think that's what's happening. Somebody's baiting the dang thing up with Milo's. So I think I'm going to have to just change spots.
Yeah, you may have to go find you another point, drop it off in the river channel somewhere. And
I mean, that's it.
Because what do you bait with, range cubes?
That's it. You know, the thing is, years ago, and I figured out a couple of things, and a lot of people ask about these carp, because they, you know, when you go to my webpage and you start kind of looking through the pictures, you're going to see a lot of pictures of these carp. Well, years ago, I was catching a bunch of those rascals, and what I figured out about them is the cubes, if the more you kind of bait an area up, they'll just start coming in there thicker and thicker, and the more you bait it up with cubes, the thicker they're going to come. But as soon as you start throwing Milo down, you're bringing in little bitty fish.
Bringing all that trinket trash, man.
Yeah, and I figured that out, because, I mean, I've been doing it a long time, and it's you kind of experiment with what works and what doesn't work. And if I just want you to get a lot of bites, I'll pull up to a spot that I know somebody's been chunking Milo out, and we'll get a million bites before you even get to the bottom. But it's just, you know, it's one of them dang things where I don't know why those little fish love that Milo, but they do. But you hear all these old timers, "Oh, sire that Milo, sire maize, whatever," you know. That stuff's too nasty. I don't want to mess with it.
No.
You know, that's I know. It's horrible. You take my dad did that years ago, and he still carries that junk on his boat. But he went to throwing that stuff out and got it all over everything, and you can still smell it a year or two later. It don't come out. I mean, that smell gets all over everything, and I am not that way. No, sir. The bait's bad enough. I don't even like using the bait, but dang it, it works, so that's what I'm going to do. There ain't no doubt. And them hybrids, you know, I can't believe I'm still catching hybrids this far into July. You know, this is the first year I've ever caught them this far into July. Normally, first part of July, it's over. Yeah. Now, kind of like we talked about last week, I'm still catching a bunch of skinny fish, but I mean, there's bigger ones that are outweighing the skinny ones, and if we can get through the 4-pounders, we can get up to some 6s. It's just the problem is, and dang, 4-pounders are jumping all over everything first. If I get through them, them dang 6-pounders and 7-pounders are showing up. I ain't run across any 8s and 9s yet, but I'm just excited to catch them in July. That's the thing that gets me, because all these years I've been doing this, I've never been able to catch them in July. Now I'm catching them, and hopefully it continues. If it continues, then that's good for me. I mean, August will be good, September, all the way throughout the year. So that's, like I say, I'm pretty excited about it, because I've never caught them in July before, and it's just weird. And I ain't going to complain at all. No way. There's no complaints with me on them hybrids, because I love them rascals. They go so hard whenever you get them on. And I've been kind of about half afraid to bring my video camera, because I've been wanting to do it, but I'm afraid the first time I bring the thing, it's going to jinx me and I ain't going to catch no fish. So I might, on the next couple of trips that I do some hybrids on, I may bring my camera just for the heck of it, and hopefully it works, you know, because as fishermen, you know, I know, we all know, we've got our little superstitions, and that's I just don't like making changes. When something's working, and I hadn't been bringing my camera with me, it's working. As soon as I bring it, it'll quit working, is what I think. So maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. I hope I'm wrong, because I want to video some of them, because we're catching limits so dang quick here. You know, it's not every day. It's happening in less than 20 minutes. But like the other day, we had we limited out with 15 of them in probably 30 minutes. So you know, it's fast one day and it's slower the next. So, yeah, it's just one of them things. And it's when they get going hard, too. And I ain't even dropped down to where I'm putting every rod out yet. I'm still down to 6 and 8 rods. I'm not putting 10 at a time out there.
Well, no, you're in them too good. That'd be a nightmare, 10 rods going off at one time, like what's going on.
I like it, though. That's the thing. That gets you so wound up. I mean, instant adrenaline. I mean, I am an adrenaline junkie, Mickey, and you know it. And I guarantee you, when you see all 10 of them suckers bow up, it's on. You'll get pumping so quick, and I mean, you can't help yourself. It just, oh my gosh, I love it. But I don't know. Like I say, this is my addiction. I tell everybody that it's my addiction. There's no way around it. It's going to be there till the day I die. There's no doubt. And especially them dang hybrids. Good night. You know, I love the way they fight. I mean, that's just a powerful fish. And like we was talking about them carp a while ago, if you really want a strong, strong fish, that's probably the strongest dang freshwater fish you'll ever get. Problem is, when you get them over 25, 30 pounds, you got to watch them. They'll break your dang leg if you get them in the boat.
Yeah.
I mean, them suckers are strong. When you got something, his tail, where it joins his tail and starts to fan out, it's as big around as your forearm. You know, that's pretty dang big for a tail. I used to, when I was catching those carp all the time, I used to get into measuring the width of their tails. You know, when you measure the width of a tail, and it's, this freshwater fish, like tuna and stuff like that, they get way bigger than this. But, you know, a carp, his tail, the biggest one I think I measured was about 15 and a half or 16 inches. And that's just point to point on the tail. That's, mm-hmm. And it's like, good night, that's bigger than a keeper catfish. You know, it's almost as big as a keeper largemouth, because 16 inches is a keeper size over here on Conroe. You know, most lakes are 14 throughout Texas, unless you're in a slot lake. But over here, it's 16 inches. So, and that's another thing. Them dang old black bass are killing me. I mean, if I get on them, they're big. And if I don't, I ain't catching squat. I mean, it's crazy. The other night I fished Tuesday night, And Monday I caught two over six. Sunday I caught one that was almost seven. And then what I have, Sunday I had two fish for 10 pounds. And yeah. And then, and one was almost seven. I've just been catching a lot of big, big fish. I caught a 9.95 a couple of weeks ago and stuff like that.
I remember that big one you caught 2 weeks ago. That was a beautiful fish, man.
It was. I tell you what, that thing, it looked like a missile coming through the water. I mean, it was, and I thought, man, that is a long fish. That sucker had to be, I didn't even measure it, but it had to be close to 26 inches long. And it wasn't even, it just wasn't girthed up, So, but it was a thick fish. I mean, it, good night. That was a gorgeous fish too. And it just, when it come through the water right beside the boat, it never really jumped. So it came under about a foot under the surface and you could see it. And that was just the neatest thing, watching that fish run alongside the boat. But, it's, and then on Tuesday I catch a bunch, I think we had like three little bitty fish. And I will say little bitty fish. One of them was 15 inches. Leah caught it and I caught two. I had one that may have kept it jumped off, and then I had another one that he wasn't 12 inches long. It's just kind of crazy. In the evenings, sometimes I can get on them real good, sometimes I can't. Mornings, sometimes I can, sometimes I can't. And what's funny is Sunday, Monday, I went bass fishing, and Sunday and Monday both, I didn't catch my first keeper fish until, I didn't even catch my first fish or even get the first bite until 9 o'clock.
Dang.
It's weird. Starting at daylight, and you're going along there, you're doing, like Sunday, I thought, well, maybe, because I've been catching the bigger ones kind of offshore on some brush piles and stuff. And so I thought, well, maybe I'll just jump out there on them early and just see what's out there early on these deeper brush piles. So I hit them, nothing. Run up to a shallow rocky point, boom, caught the seven. And I go, well, dang. This is where I should have been all morning, because I was actually fishing the shadow of some trees. The sun was coming up and the clouds had burned off and stuff, right. And the shadow of the trees was coming over the water. So I said, well, I'll just throw that because it's still early, and this bait will be running up there and hiding in the shade. And did that, and that worked. And then, the very next, after that, the next fish I caught was at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I mean, it was just, it's like, good night.
Yeah,
it's
the next keeper. A little slow.
it's crazy.
A little slow. Well, hey, Richard, I'm not slow. I got to get on with the clock. So, hey, if somebody wants to call you about fishing at Conroe, how do they get a hold of you, man?
Well, Mickey, anyone get in touch with me at 936-661-7920. You can find me on Facebook. Just check out the Fish Dudes Guide Service. You can email me at admin@fishdudetx.com or just check out the webpage, fishdudetx.com.
And quit baiting with Milo. All right, man.
That's it. Good
all
night.
Right,
get rid of that thing, little fish.
That's it. See you, Richard. Have a good day.
All right.
Later, man.
All right, you too.
All right.
Bye.
All right, let's go ahead and take a break. You're listening to the Outdoor Show here at Sports Radio 610. We'll be right back.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.